Amen. God bless you, choir. Thank you. We appreciate you leading us this morning. And again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for being here today for Back in the Game Sunday. For the past multiple years, on a Sunday morning in August, that usually has coincided with the new school year, we have taken the opportunity here at Emory Baptist Church to encourage ourselves and encourage one another to get back in the game. And on that same Sunday, we have invited and encouraged church members and Sunday school members to wear their team's favorite shirts or jerseys or hats. And so that's why you see a lot of different teams represented this morning. I want to invite you at this time to do two things. Number one, if you will find your bulletin insert this morning that says on that trifold, Back in the Game 2023 and 2024, and then also find in your Bible Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. While you're finding those two items, I want to give a very intentional plug to absolutely, positively, my favorite team. The Reigns Lady Cat Varsity Basketball Team. In 22-23, that team played in the region quarterfinals for the second time in 4 years. And if my research is correct, no Reigns Lady Cat basketball team has advanced past that third game in the playoffs. They've won the bi-district game, they've won the area game, they've played in the region quarterfinal game multiple times, but have never advanced past that game. If you are wondering, it takes 7 games to play in the state championship game. Oh.
Yes, they've been to state.
Been to state. I have been corrected. Thank you for that correction. Going all the way back to when? Going all the way back to when? The 50s, somebody has said. 54. Well, let me retract and say it has been a really long time. In 23-24, if by November your football team has broken your heart again, or your baseball team has broken your heart again, let me encourage you to begin following those Reigns Lady Cats. They will return 8 varsity lettermen and 5 returning starters. And 2 of those varsity lettermen are sitting on the front row this morning. And their fathers are supporting them this morning with our t-shirts. Again, you hopefully have found Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Your brochure for Back in the Game Sunday. Some of you might be asking, Brother Richard, why do we do this every year? Great question. Because I think it's important at least once a year, but really more often than that, to be reminded, why do we exist here at Emory Baptist Church? Why do you exist as a follower of Christ? To which some might reply, because again, this is an annual occurrence. Brother Richard, that's so boring. We already have heard that. Great, let's get to work. Doing what we know to do. Because remember, brothers and sisters, why do we call him Lord, Lord, if we don't do what he says? I want to suggest to you this morning that there is a very real temptation in our culture today to grow bored in following Christ daily. There's a very real temptation to grow bored with following Christ daily. Our culture has conditioned us to long for that mountaintop experience. And absolutely, positively, there are plenty of mountaintop experiences when you are following Christ, but I would also be willing to say that there are many days that are anything but a mountaintop experience. But you know what, brothers and sisters? We're called to follow Christ on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Thursday morning, regardless of how we feel and regardless of what is going on. And so I want to encourage you today to embrace the challenge of following Christ every day, not just on the mountaintop. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look back and we're going to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what he has done here at Emory Baptist Church in the past 11 months, specifically as it relates to the persons that God has added to our number. And then we're going to take an opportunity to look forward and think about the ministry opportunities that potentially await us in the coming year. In 22-23, the Lord added 21 new members to Emory Baptist Church, and five of them were baptized as followers of Christ. You will find those names on the back middle panel of that trifold brochure. Let me just recognize them, and if I call out your name this morning, would you stand for just a moment and let us see you? Annabelle Bullock, lead us out. Thank you, sweetheart. Doug and Mary Connor. Wanda Custrid, Cody Drown, Dane Drown, Kevin and Pam Gassett, Greg and Grace Johnson, Kyle and Cecily Kirby, Billy and Lou Madden, Lance and Pat Nail, Brennan O'Neill, Brian O'Neill, Michael and Sharon Parker, and Tristan Purdy. Look around. Thank the Lord for those folks this morning. God bless you. You can be seated. The Lord has certainly been at work in our lives in addition to what I just shared with you, but that's just simply easily quantified, easily observed when we think about new members and those who have followed the Lord in baptism. We want to look forward and we want to think about what are some ministry opportunities that potentially await us in the coming year. And can I again just encourage you and point every person in the room to a Sunday school small group? There absolutely, positively is not a larger ministry at Emory Baptist Church, and in my opinion, not a more important ministry at Emory Baptist Church that meets every Sunday morning at 9:15, and beginning next month, adults and teenagers will turn our attention to the Gospel of Mark. In 23-24, we will have 21 Sunday school small groups. And I want to recognize these teachers this morning. And here's why. Each and every Sunday, those teachers prepare a lesson for you. Doesn't matter if they're sick. Doesn't matter if they don't feel well. Doesn't matter if they've got so many things to do at the house. You know what they do? Every single week, they prepare a lesson for you. And I appreciate that. I can identify with that. Sunday school teachers, if I call your name, would you stand and remain standing for just a moment? Sarah Haley, Christy Piles, Maria Denninger, Kathy McKinney, Cindy Callantine, Ann Braswell, Debbie Haley, Diane Klump, Jeanette Melton, Ronnie Witt, Andrea Thompson, Ashley Miller, Whitney Williams, Brenda Gaby, Whitdale, Eric Velasquez, John Williams, Dempsey Bullock, Ed Emming, Lynette Beaver, Debbie Vanderwilt, Dean Vanderwilt, Robert Harris, Mike Hodges, Robert Kyle, Beverly Bryan, Barbie Thompson, Diana Wolf, and Joe Britt. Would you let these folks now look around. Look around. There is a Sunday school small group for you. From the youngest child to the oldest adult. There is a Sunday school small group for you. And I beg you, get connected with one of these small groups. The teachers are different, but the curriculum is the same. The members are different, but the message is the same. God bless you, teachers. You can be seated. Last Sunday morning, we began that study in the book of Philippians, the letter of joy. And we'll continue that next Sunday morning, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. We continue to study on Sunday evenings the book of Deuteronomy, if you are thinking about Sunday evening. But more than informing you this morning about calendars and schedules, again, I want to remind you, why do we exist at Emory Baptist Church? Better yet, why do you exist as a follower of Christ? When God saved you, why didn't He take you to heaven like that? He could have, right? But He didn't do that. Instead, He left you here. Why? To do what? Well, three purposes I would suggest to you. By the way, if you're looking at your brochure there at the bottom, you will find those three purposes, those three responsibilities, those three reasons that we exist, our three jobs, if you will. Summer is over. Vacations are done. School has started. Sports and band are back in the game. And so now, brothers and sisters, I would say to us that we are absolutely, positively ready for us to get back in the game as well. The very first reason that we exist, our purpose, our goal, our objective, number one, is to love God. To love God. Look there in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Jesus was asked this question by a lawyer, an attorney. Some think that the lawyer or attorney was trying to trick Jesus. He simply may have just been asking honestly. But regardless, Jesus' answer was to love God with everything that you are and everything that you have. That's your number one purpose. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The New Testament has a word for that, to picture that, to capture that. And it's the word worship, brothers and sisters. That we are to worship the Lord individually as well as collectively. How do we worship the Lord individually? Well, listen to this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says to the Roman church, "I beseech you," or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. If you're reading the NIV this morning, the NIV says, presenting your bodies to the Lord is proper worship. That's also the word that the New American Standard Bible uses, that presenting your lives, your daily lives to the Lord is worship. So what does that mean? Well, it means that on Monday through Saturday, when you're not within the walls of this building, that you are living a life that is honoring of Christ. And you do it at school, and we're called to do it at work, and we're called to do it in our marriage, and we're called to do it as we recreate, and we're called to do it with our money and with our health and everything that we have and everything that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to worship individually, but we're also to worship collectively. Or congregationally. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, there is a command that the writer of Hebrews gives to those first century Christians. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brothers and sisters, can I encourage you in this new school year to be faithful to worship the Lord collectively, to not forsake this assembly on Sunday mornings? You say, "Brother Richard, why are you always concerned about Sunday morning attendance? Following Christ is so much more than Sunday morning attendance." You know what? You're exactly right. But it's never less than. Following Christ, you're right. It is so much more than Sunday morning attendance. But it's never less than, brothers and sisters. And yet in our culture today, for many of us, we use any reason possible to forsake this assembly. "I don't feel well. I've got too many things to do at home." We could go on and on and on and on. But can I challenge you? Can I encourage you? Make this assembly your utmost priority. Decide on Saturday, not Sunday morning if you feel well, but decide on Saturday, "I'm going to worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ tomorrow." We're to love God. We're to worship Him individually. We're to worship Him collectively. But that's not our only purpose. It's not our only job. That's not the only reason why we exist. Number two, we are to love people. Continuing there in Matthew 22, Jesus said, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus didn't simply stop with love God. He moved forward to love people. Now, how can you love people here at Emory Baptist Church? Well, you can be involved in one of those Sunday school small groups that I mentioned just a moment ago. Brother Richard, how does that translate into loving people? Because you are hearing their burdens on Sunday morning. You're studying God's Word together. You're experiencing life together. It's not just simply a lecture or a sterile Bible study. It's understanding God's Word in light of your lives and your experience and what you're going through can be an encouragement to those around you and as well as you. We need one another here at Emory Baptist Church. God's Word confirms that. Here's what Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased." Emory Baptist Church needs each and every one of you. And you know what? Each and every one of you needs Emory Baptist Church. And so can I encourage you to be involved in one of those Sunday morning Sunday school small groups? But can I also encourage you to be involved in ministry? It's time to get back in the game as it relates to ministry. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that if you're a follower of Christ this morning, that God's Word says that each of you, each follower of Christ in the room, without exception, has at least one spiritual gift. Every one of you. And discouragement is not a spiritual gift. But every one of you has a spiritual gift. Here's what Paul said also to the Corinthian church, the same chapter, the seventh verse. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Every single follower of Christ in the room, you've been given at least one spiritual gift. Why? For the betterment of this body. Not for you. Not for you to get a pat on the back. Not for you to be encouraged, but for us. So you can love people by being a member of that Sunday school small group. You can love people by ministering with your spiritual gift. And so where are you planning to serve? You going to serve in the choir, leading us in worship, Sunday mornings, rehearsing Friday, Sunday afternoons at 5? You going to serve in our prayer room? Our prayer room is absolutely, positively one of the easiest ministries here at Emory Baptist Church, and yet also one of the hardest to get people to feel for some unknown reason. We operate a prayer room here at Emory Baptist Church 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, actually, including the lunch hour. 36 hours during the week, not for you to come and to get sweaty, not for you to come and work outside, not for you to come and do anything other than pray. And you could sign up for an hour per week in the prayer room, right out in the hallway, on that ministry bulletin board. And we don't check attendance, and we don't call you if you haven't been in a couple of weeks. But for many of you, particularly those of you who are retired, that absolutely, positively is a way that you can serve every single week without much effort on your part. What about Backpack Buddies, meeting every other week? What about our little free pantry, making sure that it's stocked every day? How are you loving people through service and ministry? Don't just come and sit, brothers and sisters. Go and serve. Finally, number three, not only does Emory Baptist Church exist to love God and to love people, but Emory Baptist Church, and I would also say Emory Baptist Church's members, exist to love God and love people and make disciples. Staying there in Matthew's gospel, turn over to Matthew 28. You can know that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 was absolutely important because it was the last thing that he said to us. Making disciples begins with sharing the gospel, witnessing, evangelism. By the way, this next Wednesday night, at Wednesday worship, I'm going to teach you, if you choose to come, the absolute easiest way to share the gospel, bar none. The absolute easiest way to share the gospel, bar none, without exception. I hope you'll be at Wednesday worship this coming Wednesday at 6:30. But if you've been saved, then God's word says that the power of the Spirit has come upon you, and you are to be witnesses. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 19 of Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Every believer, not just the preacher, not just the church staff, not just the deacons, not just the Sunday school teachers, not just those who are outgoing in their personality, but every believer has been given a testimony of how God has saved you and how God can save anyone. But you and I have to share it. It doesn't happen by simply transfer from one to another. It has to be verbally shared. You receive the gospel, and our job, brothers and sisters, is to share the gospel. And then we also make disciples. We make disciples by small group Bible study. We do that on Sunday mornings. In the fall, there's opportunities for that to happen on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesdays throughout the day, even on Friday mornings. God called you as a disciple, and then he's called us to make disciples. And so, brothers and sisters, it's time to get back in the game. To get back in the game of loving God and loving people and making disciples. If you're here this morning and you have never made a decision to be a disciple of Christ, today I want to invite you to be saved. I want to invite you to admit that you're a sinner. I want to invite you to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place and for your sin. I want to invite you today to call on the name of the Lord to save you. If that's true of you this morning and you would call on the name of the Lord to save you for the very first time, after we finish praying, I'm going to be standing here at the front as we'll be standing all across the auditorium singing. Brother Ronnie will be here standing close by, and if today you would call on the name of the Lord to save you for the very first time, I want to invite you to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Let us know that you want to answer that call to salvation. We'd love to rejoice with you and pray with you, counsel with you. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You are a follower of Christ. But you recognize that what can be said about those individuals who stood just a moment ago, that some of which we've baptized in the recent weeks, cannot be said about you. But you want it to be said about you. Oh, they're a follower of Christ. I saw them baptized. We'd love to make that real in your life, to make that a reality for you. If you're a guest this morning and you've been visiting churches and maybe God is saying to you this morning, it's time for you to get back in the game at Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you today. We'll take care of the details of transferring your membership. We've had multiple additions in the recent Sundays. We'd love to welcome you. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, let's get back in the game here at Emory Baptist Church and for God's kingdom. Would you pray with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that your word is clear, that we exist to love you and to love others and to make disciples of Christ. We trust and pray that your Spirit has been at work in our midst. And over these next few moments, we commit this invitation unto you, our Heavenly Father, to convict of sin, to train in righteousness, to draw to greater commitment. Let us, Lord, be ready to answer with yes, however you may be leading this morning. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly, very reverently to your feet? Brother Ronnie is here, and I will be here, and Brother Chris comes to lead us. Would you come today on the very first stand?